Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams.
And Elizabeth Wallace. And you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 423. And tonight, we're recapping Welcome to Night Vale number 253, Instructions for Folding. And when Catherine saw the title of this, she knows that I keep messing around with origami. She's like, oh, I think based on the title, you're going to like this one. And I did.
Yes, even though it goes a little far afield.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. We're not really going to like go through every single point of this episode because it was... It's one of our favorites. It's a delightfully weird list of things, but I feel like it would lose something if we were to just basically recap it word for word. You really should go listen to this one, but it goes into, I believe, 6-part instructions on how to do origami, interspersed with some of the usual Night Vale interstitials. So we'll go into those interstitials first that we really like.
Yeah, and to start out, I really think we need to point out that not once does Cecil use the word origami.
Nope, not even once. Nope. So that's fine. So we start out with the news and two things. One, I think it's Adder Boulevard in Night Vale has decided to leave and is going to go move to the big city. So they're accepting applications for a new road. Make sure to send a headshot.
LaFleur is canceling or putting a pause on his driverless car service where people get driven around by ghosts. There's been some customer complaints, like some guy talking about the fact that he wanted to go to this one place, but they ended up parked outside this house. And there was this girl with black hair draped over her face, and she was crawling towards him so slowly. And it was so slowly, he realized he was going to be really late. So he got out and walked, and he's not going to go ahead and use that service again. And also, there have been fatalities. And
yeah.
Cecil said that LaFleur had mentioned that it would be incredibly irresponsible if somebody didn't pull a service at the first sign of fatalities. I'm like, was that a dig? I think that was a dig.
No, I think that was a dig. Oh, my goodness. And one of the other interstitials was a word from our sponsors, and the word is bungalow. And that's it. That's all we hear.
We had the children's fun fact corner, and I think the one thing that I retained was that strawberries are a lie that we tell ourselves, mm-hmm. but also that figs form around dead wasps. And this is a true fact that you really need to look up because it's horrifying. And I agree. I found out a while ago because we had been thinking about a new plant and we thought about figs. And I found out that figs have a symbiotic relationship with wasps. Do not like.
Oh, no. Pass. Absolutely not. I don't want to give wasps any more excuse to like hang around. I
mean, no.
At least bees die when they sting you, but wasps, oh my God, they're so angry.
And I don't know what wasps do other than be feed for other animals and also to be angry all the damn time.
Pretty much, yeah. Nope, I'm going to pass on that one. One of the things we had a test of the emergency broadcast system, and it was just Cecil panicking, and the voice actor does such a good job. He was freaking the hell out.
Yeah, he was like at least a good 30 seconds of just solid panic, and he said something like, if this had been a real emergency, oh, you'd be in big trouble, or you'd be on your own.
Oh, God.
But he also had a quick editorial, and it was socks, right? They're basically shoes that you wear inside your shoes. What, am I going to have another pair of shoes inside my socks to keep my feet from touching my socks? So he's pushing for the idea of wearing shoes the natural way with no socks. And I'm sorry, I tried that when I was much younger and first working in an office job. And let me tell you, shoes that you wear without socks on a regular basis start to smell, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Oh, they're so gross. Yeah, sorry, Cecil, I'm not with you on this
one.
I just can't. We got a whole bunch of famous quotes. I like the one Einstein just said, God ain't playing. I'm like, yeah, that seems about right. Seems all right. Yeah.
I like FDR's, I'm super scared about being scared. So you can see where that went, basically.
Yeah. Now, at one point, and I'm just going to jump in and say that this had actually been part 5 of the instructions where they're doing some kind of like troubleshooting. And one of the things was, it's like, oh, are you not able to fold? Well, you're just a giant disappointment, basically. But another thing is, did you see out the window there was a storm building? And in that case, did you walk outside? Did you strip off your clothes until you were covered with the rain and you became one with
the weather. The weather.
And we went to the weather, yeah.
Which was very industrial, and otherwise, I don't think I retained even a little bit of it.
Nope, it was Clifton by Chapter 19. Now, I wrote down screamy punk rock, which is probably it. I looked on their website, and they're described as hard-hitting, angular, post-hardcore duo. And I'm like, yeah, it makes as much sense as anything else, I guess.
Sure, why not? So we should probably go back now and go through all of these steps of folding, because after the weather is where you finally get to the point of doing the folding, and I think you need a little background.
Yeah, yeah. Part one is your environment. You're going to have to be in a room that is becalmed and true. It's clean and sunny, but it has no windows and no cats and no music. And you can imagine music, but you can't imagine wind chimes or escape.
And there needs to be some airflow, but no strangers in the room. Check to make sure there aren't any strangers in the room. Are you sure?
Part two was materials. And I think at one point he was talking about if you're having trouble with the materials and you can't fold, then burst of static. Very startling.
Yeah, you need a table with corners sharp enough to hurt, and you need an implement that is stolen, and it's even better if the person you stole it from is upset about it being stolen.
You need a structure that can withstand 500 pounds, and the way you check this out is to get something that's 500 pounds, put it on the structure. If it collapses, it wasn't strong enough.
Part three was warnings, and you really do need to see a doctor before attempting folding, and keep seeing more doctors until you get one that tells you what you want to hear.
So part four is kind of the meaning of folding. I know one of them was the point. What was the second one?
I can't even remember, because I wrote down consider the purpose and meaning of folding, and then I just kind of like basked in it because it was just like a word salad going on about the philosophy of folding.
Yeah, I remember at one point they listed several things and then also another burst of static. So it keeps happening.
It's almost like a jump scare in that way.
Yeah, definitely. So then we already mentioned part five, where you become one with the weather. And when you get back from the weather, we had part six. And that was when you finally start folding. You are folding yourself.
You have to lie on the ground and take several deep breaths. And at that point, you're ready to stop breathing. And then you just start contorting yourself in progressively more and more disturbing ways. I don't know if you've ever looked up the Japanese manga Uzumaki, but it was that was what I was being reminded of, this kind of twisting, contorting sort of thing. So it's disturbing.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember reading the book Kraken, which is a really good book, but they have this horrible character who does horrible things to people. And at one point, there is a person who has a magic ability of folding things, but this horrible guy goes to that guy, and basically, you don't see it, but you just hear him basically folding something to death and doing things to a body that shouldn't happen. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Massively disturbing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, fortunately, you don't get any sound effects in this. You just get Cecil's very calm instructions on every part of your body to move. And admit that not only are you foldable, you are already folded.
Yeah, I like how he said at one point, you're going to sort of slough your skin off. Put it aside. Save it for later. Remember, reduce, reuse, regret. And I went, oh, t-shirt moment. So yeah, and then after he says, you know, you are foldable and you're already folded, now fold yourself and fold yourself and fold yourself. And it just gets darker and weirder and more distorted until it kind of just sort of like disappears into this very odd hum in the background. And then we go into the closing credits.
Yep. So that was pretty much it. Good episode. You can definitely see Brew Williams's influence on this writing here, because my goodness, she does great lists in these things.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so now I'm going to briefly mention two things, because these are things that I've watched, but Catherine hasn't watched yet, so I can't spoil them. But the first thing is, I've just finished the second to last episode of the final season of Umbrella Academy.
And?
There are some good things, definitely. There's also a ship that I didn't realize that I wanted, so I'm curious to see how that turns out. The Netflix bloat is pretty apparent. There's something weird with the pacing, and there's moments that they're really trying to go for like some triumphant things, but I don't think it entirely lands. There's one incredibly silly dance number, didn't kind of live up to some of the dance numbers in previous seasons, but I mean, I'm on the final episode and I'm really curious to see what happens.
Okay.
I mean, it's just, there's a lot that's been set up. And also, I almost feel like a lot of this has been a little bit of a vehicle for Elliot Page to kind of speak some truths going on. And I think that's nice that they gave him a chance to do that.
Okay, well, I will have to start on that very soon. Nathan and I finally restarted our Netflix subscription so we could start watching the most recent season of The Crown. And we are 4 episodes in. And I think they handled the death of Diana and her boyfriend, I guess, at the time, Dodi. Because they don't show the moment in the car when the crash happens. It's just like the growing chaos of them in the car and being chased down by these paparazzi, and the car is going faster and faster, and you see them holding hands, and then you're out of the car seeing it head into the tunnel where the crash is. And I was like, good. I don't think I could have watched any more of that, because it was bad enough seeing the portrayal of what Diana went through every time she tried to go somewhere, and just like the relentless pressure. Now, episode 4, I finally know what you and Hannah were talking about with the storytelling trope that you didn't like. And I got to agree, it didn't bother me at first. It was when Diana kind of like shows up and talks to Charles, and Dodi shows up and talks to his father. I don't think it bothered me as much at first, because I've seen the trope done so many times before, and it's always very balanced in this idea like, well, you can imagine it's the actual spirit talking to them, or you can imagine that it's this character desperately trying to get some kind of closure. But Hannah pointed out the fact that these were real people and they're putting words in their mouths after they're dead, where it's just like so far beyond the point where they could have any control over this, it is a little icky. I feel like it would have worked better if they had made it like, if they had actually had Charles and Dodi's father acknowledging the fact that, I really wish that you were actually here hearing me and that you were actually here saying this, because I'm really terrified that I'm just making up what I want to hear. If they had if they had done more of that, it would have been a little easier to swallow.
Yeah, and I know that in like in previous seasons, people were always wondering, is the royal family okay with the Crown doing this? I mean, they do have the free speech laws in the UK aren't as robust as they are here. I mean, people have been sued for saying something bad about a person and the person didn't like it and they got shut up with the British courts and everything. And people sort of wondered, how is the royal family with how they're being portrayed? This season in places, I swear I couldn't get away from the idea that maybe there were some people in the royal family who were like, don't make Charles look bad. He's going to be the king. So now you need to say something nice about him. So that's him talking to the ghost or, I don't know, apparition of Diana, whatever. It really felt like she was telling him, I don't know, don't feel so bad about yourself. And I was like, that's gross.
It is. It is kind of gross. It did feel like they're trying to rehabilitate his reputation somehow with that, which is a shame, because I feel like all of the rest of the episodes that I've watched so far have been great. I mean, I've really been, they're engaging. I don't get bored watching these things. So I'm curious to see how the rest of the season shapes up. But yeah, I wish they hadn't done that with the ghosts.
Yeah, it was a little much. All the acting was really good, though. I mean, it was very nicely done. I mean, I thought up until that point they really kind of, maybe they were a little easy on Charles, but I think they were pretty good about sort of portraying him and Diana as being just flawed people who weren't good for each other.
So. It always bugged me that it felt like Charles was always getting more of a pass to continue this relationship with the woman that he had been cheating on Diana with, and Diana, meanwhile, is like at fault for misbehaving in public. And I'm like, but I don't know if that was how the writers saw it or if they're trying to show how everybody was treating Diana through all that. But yeah, it was
Okay, so the other thing I want to mention real briefly is that I finally started watching Star Trek Lower Decks, which is the animated Star Trek. Oh my God, it's so good.
Really?
It's really. Now, it is not like, you might look at it and think that it maybe puts you a little in mind of Rick and Morty, but it doesn't go into that like hardcore wrongness that Rick and Morty does. It's funny and it makes fun, but it's really good natured. And you can't really even call what they're doing fan service, because I think the problem with fan service a lot of times is it's not self-aware. They're putting it's like, oh, we know the fans want to see this. This one is just very much like, huh, here you go, nerds, have fun with this one. You'll know what we're going to be talking about with that. It's so, I really like it. I like the style of animation. I'm like 9 episodes in. I have binged it within like 3 days. I really, really enjoy it.
Oh my goodness. Okay, it's streaming on Paramount then?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
All right. I'll check that out.
Highly. I even mentioned it to Leland, and he's doing a rewatch because apparently there's a new season going to drop. And he said that the second episode of season 2 is one of his favorites. And I'm like, that's amazing, because I've got so many favorites just in the first season. I'd love to see what's even better about the second season. So really, really excited. So happy that I've got so much to watch, too. It's great.
Well, Nathan and I finally watched something we've been meaning to watch for ages because it showed up on the Criterion channel, Licorice Pizza, which is only 3 years out, so not too bad for us, but it is quirky as fuck. It is it is fun, quirky, weird. There's so many times you're like, what's happening? What the hell's going on? And if you like want to be dismissive about it, it's like a series of things that are happening in one summer. But if you're looking at it another way, it's two people, two young people who are trying to find out who the hell they are and what they're going to be doing in their life and how does this whole relationship thing work. And it's fun. I swear the casting is about as quirky as the dialogue is, because Philip Seymour Hoffman's son is the male lead, and the female lead, hang on a second, is Alana Haim. And she and her sisters are part of a band, and her sisters play her sisters in this movie, and her mom and dad play her mom and dad in this movie.
Oh, wow.
But Nathan pulled up a video that they did of I Want You Back, I think. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm going to have to post a link to it, because it's that perfect combination of a really good song and a deceptively simple concept and just flawless execution.
Oh,
so yeah, I'm enjoying the heck out of that. But yeah, I would recommend Licorice Pizza, but just like, don't go in expecting this gigantic overarching plot with themes and everything. It's stuff is happening.
I can handle it. That's good. That's fine. What is it with us like catching up with things lately? I don't want to go into it now because we have both actually watched this one, but just the other week I finally watched Interstellar, and I have no idea why I didn't watch it before now. I mean,
is it because it's just so long? It just felt a little bit too epic to tackle of an evening most of the time.
I feel really weird about the fact that I completely forgot that it was a Christopher Nolan film, so now I have even less excuse for not having watched it, because I honestly like everything that Christopher Nolan has done. I don't always understand it all, but I always like it, and I like this one, but it's so long, we got to do a whole episode just talking about it at some point, just go into detail.
Yeah, especially about the robot. I really love the robot.
Yeah, me too. But I guess that's going to wrap us up for the week, so make sure to check out pixelatedgeek.com for all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic book reviews, the photo galleries. I'm saying it right now, I'm going to start putting up some reviews of Saga, because I just read the latest issue that came out last week, and things are gearing up. I'm so nervous because I know that they have an end point in mind, and I feel like we're getting closer to it, you know?
I think we are. Did they say, what episode, what issue just came out?
Hang on. Oh, come on. Crappity crap. Just give me a sec. Wow. I'm sorry. I'm having trouble finding a link to whatever.
Honestly. I'm going to look. It's on the countdown now. Who can get their computer to cooperate faster?
Damn it. Well, Google's also being a rat bastard. I swear to God.
I think the most recent one was 68. Boom.
Is that a picture of Alana having stuff thrown at her?
I am not looking at that one. I'm looking at the cover of 67, which is the one that I just read, which is the main character and the dolphin in the circus act.
Oh, yep. Yep, nope, you're right. Yeah, it is 68. Yeah, okay. Man, God, I don't know if Google's doing that thing with you. You're doing a search and it says, oh, that page can't be shown. I'm like, at first I thought maybe I'd wandered into a bad area, but just randomly giving me that. Good job, Google, for taking a once useful product and completely ruining it. Awesome work.
Well, it really says something that Amazon gives you faster results than Google does now. So yeah. Now we're seeing a great takeover of the entire internet.
Fun. fun. But anyway, yeah, I'm going to start doing comic book reviews again because I'm actually reading between Saga and Sacrificers and Nice House by the Sea. I'm actually reading a lot of comics again lately. Again, who is this? Who am I? I'm catching up on things. I'm reading comics again. Oh my God, what's happening? I like it.
I am trying to overcome how little I read of actual novels last year by reading like anything that comes out this year that I'm interested in. I want to try to read it this year, which is going to be tricky because I've got a few out already, and Catherine Valente's sequel to Space Opera is going to be coming out if it isn't out already. So nice. Yeah, lots of stuff to catch up on with that.
Yep, all that and more, pixelatedgeek.com. So next week we won't have Night Vale and no Laura Olympus, but I mean, maybe we'll do the Interstellar one next week, or maybe you and Nathan will catch a few episodes. I mean, I swear, if you watch 3 episodes of Lower Decks, I think none of them are even a half an hour long, I don't think. But watch 3. If you don't like it, you can put it aside. But I think after 3, you're going to know what it's about, and I think you'll enjoy it. But
good. Okay. Have to give that one a try.
But we'll either talk about that or something else, because we're specific. But one way or the other, we will talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to y'all later.